escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
With over 25 years of expertise, DAF Giving 360's donor-advised funds can help you get a tax deduction and potentially grow your charitable dollars tax-free while you recommend when and where to give. Learn more at DAFGiving360.org.
Getting ready for a weekend. Spencer, we have really tried to dive into the expectations for this preseason game tomorrow. And obviously, you're going to have more tomorrow with Earl, I would imagine. Although, did this throw any sort of wrinkle into your plan tomorrow? Or did it just give you, like, is this like gas onto a fire?
Like, just that the game's there, essentially?
No. The idea that now you have to come back tomorrow and do the two, a very similar show in many ways. No. Okay. All right, I'm always curious about that.
It's nice because I think we bounce ideas off each other here, and then I can bounce different things off of Earl, and he has different feelings on things. So, yeah, I think it'll be a good conversation leading up to
Wait.
And then Jake, you mean
Earl and I don't think exactly the same?
Who would have thought? And then we have Jake join us for the last hour. So,
oh, Jake's popping in for the last hour.
Yeah, he pops in from 11 to, we leave at noon, and then he finishes out the sort of pregame show.
I wanted to give you guys a quick promo on that. I wanted you guys to be, obviously for the people out there, to be paying attention and listening to it. I told you I got a music class for my daughter, so I'll be driving out and
That's
about.
That's before the game then?
Yeah, before the game. Okay. Yeah. And so I'll be listening to you guys, and you won't really know what time or when, but just know that I'm listening. And so there'll just be so much pressure in order to be like, was JP listening now? Is he listening now? I don't know, but I better bring the show. Takes.
I loved the week where the game was on a Friday, and then we got JP just like unfiltered. Still, I was so hammered on cloud nine, that Friday night, man. Just calling in on Saturday morning and giving his Shador. It was great. We took a victory lap together. It was awesome.
That game made me so happy for Shador.
Is that the happiest you've ever been? Like following this team, covering this team.
Yeah, I thought you were going to stop after happiest I've ever been. I was going to be like, well, I got to put like my marriage up there, maybe birth of my child, maybe. But I have to. There are some things I have to put above that.
Would be so wild if you were like, man, greatest moments of my life. The night Shador Sanders should have been named starting quarterback of the Cleveland Browns in that preseason game against the Panthers. And the night my daughter was born.
Years ago, I used to always make this joke. I'd rank people in my life, and I'd be like, and this is before I met my wife, so I'd be like, it's my mom, it's my sister, it's LeBron James, then it's my little brother, then it's my older brother, and I'd go through that. And it's like, it's fun, the relationship that you can have with some of these athletes. I think, my favorite game of all time as it relates to the Browns, it's got to be that Thursday night game against the Jets with Baker. Like, I want to put this in proper. I made a joke about it with Daryl earlier in the show about the idea that like there's only been two quarterbacks that I've just gone so hard in the pain for. One was Baker, and then one obviously is Shador. And I told Daryl, I still have people come up to me at remotes and stuff like that, and they'll be like, thank you for being the only person at the time that was on the station that was going hard for Baker, because nobody else really was. Everyone was either extremely negative about Baker or just kind of played it like, all right, well, he's the Browns quarterback, so I want him to do well, but I don't believe he's going to do well. Meanwhile, I was in the corner battling Adam for about an hour straight one night because I had told him on the air, obviously, that I had thought that Baker Mayfield versus Patrick Mahomes was going to be our generation of Manning versus Brady. Like that's how in camp I was with Baker. And I was, what I was talking about with Daryl earlier that I find so interesting, and I want to know if you find any similarities. Like, were you a Baker guy or no?
I was probably, I'm not going to like sit here and pretend I was like all in on Baker in the beginning. I also wasn't like a hater though. Like I thought like the people who were trying to like make a big deal out of like his antics on the field where he was like, you know, grabbing certain areas of his body and all that was like
the crotch grab,
the flag planting at Ohio State. I was like, I don't care about that stuff. And honestly, like those are similar things that I've said other quarterbacks, like, don't you kind of want that in your quarterback? Like it different because Shador hasn't done some those specific things, but like that confidence and sort of that like willingness to like be outward with like how you feel and like exude that to people.
Yes.
I think that's something that a Browns quarterback should have. So I didn't look at that as a bad thing. I didn't think Baker was a bad, I didn't hate Baker. I was kind of like, let's see what he does. Like I had some questions. And then once that Thursday night game happened, it was like all bets were off. I was like, I'm all in with everybody else. Like, this is awesome if he actually becomes the franchise quarterback for this team. And obviously from the beginning, I've been more all in on Shador. Kind of like a don't want to make the same mistake twice, maybe. JP was right about Baker all those years ago. Maybe I need to just join him on this train early on.
Yeah, that was the influence. So you don't want to be the bandwagon guy. That's interesting because there is a part of me
it's not that I don't want to be the bandwagon guy.
But you see it with Shador, though. You saw it after that first game. You saw the amount of people that said mean or nasty things about him, then turned around, and all of a sudden, they're speaking a little bit of a different tune. Yeah. You know, and same thing happened with Baker in many respects. You know, people, he's running from the cops, he's crotch grabbing, he's doing the plant and the flag that you referenced.
Yeah.
We can't stand this kid. And then the Thursday night game happened. And all of a sudden,
the beer fridges were opened, and it was a miracle.
Bang biscuit! Yeah. All of a sudden, everyone's a Baker fan.
That's my point. Is like I wasn't on the Baker bandwagon.
Except for people on this station, minus myself, they just continued to just not like him.
I wasn't on the Baker bandwagon the same way that you probably were, but I have obviously been on the Shador bandwagon from the beginning. So that's the good news. I don't know, but here we are.
It is. No,
hopefully, he turns out to be that guy. Finally, we'll see.
Well, and so it'll be interesting to see how it all develops, and it'll be interesting to see what happens, especially to people that like Shador as much as we like Shador, when he does kind of get tucked away for a little bit. You know, he's kind of like, he's like the toys in Toy Story. They just kind of put him in the closet area. They put him in the toy chest, and they're just going to say, you can't play with him now. I wonder how that works for fans.
Since we're talking about this, this just kind of hit me. Like, there was a lot of circumstances that led to like the beer fridge night for Baker, right? It was the fact that the team hadn't won a game in however many games, and they were like on this crazy historic losing streak. And so that was the whole premise behind the beer fridges in general.
Yeah.
And then it was the fact that like Hugh Jackson did this, like, was so stupid in the way he handled that quarterback situation. And he had like the whole video where they were like, congratulations on earning the number two quarterback.
On Hard Knocks.
There was that whole thing.
It was on Hard Knocks.
There was the fact that like Tyrod Taylor just was like not very, like, people thought he shouldn't even really be the starter and whatever. And then he gets hurt that Thursday night game. And Baker comes in, and it was like they were losing the game. Like, there was a lot of circumstances that went into Baker delivering that moment and like this euphoria that went over Cleveland. How does Shador top that when he gets his? Because I feel like Shador is going to be a different situation. It's going to be like, all right, he's going to start from like immediately. Like, can he top that? Like, if he comes out and like plays well in his first game and the Browns win, will that be bigger than the Baker Mayfield night where the beer fridges were open?
It's a great question because I wonder if, because I don't know that Hugh Jackson was ever going to get to Baker Mayfield. I don't. We have no idea. And for an odd reason why we all just kind of accepted the fact that Hugh Jackson was resigned to not playing him, and maybe it would eventually happen, but there wasn't much we could do about it. It was like, all right, Hugh Jackson's here, baby. He just wants to do this. He's going to do this.
Wasn't Tyrod's injury like a couple weeks, and that's the only... Because I was kind of going into like, if Tyrod's not out for a longer period of time, I guarantee you he's going back to Tyrod.
Obviously, you know, the injury happened during the game. And so Baker got in there, and then he legitimately just Wally pipped him. Like, he just played so well in that game that there was no recourse.
I was kind of thinking like, If I for some reason, I got to look this up, but I felt like Tyrod's injury like kept him out a couple more weeks, and then Baker was playing so well that he couldn't go back. Because I was kind of thinking even after that night, like, if Tyrod Taylor is okay, I could see Hugh Jackson just being like, ah, yeah, Baker did that cool thing and all, but we're going to go right back to Tyrod Taylor.
So, but how did Shador match it? And I just don't know that you can from that perspective, because it was so, it wasn't like you had like weeks or days leading up to it where you're like, all right, finally going to see Baker Mayfield. It was we didn't know it was happening. It's a nationally televised game. And then it happened and everything was awesome about it. And so like Shador, the only thing you do is copy it essentially, but you can't beat it.
I guess I just kind of feel like too, like Shador's aura and like the people that follow him is bigger. Like I honestly wonder if it'll just feel bigger from that standpoint, because so many people,
I wonder if we're rewriting that in many ways too. Like I heard people earlier today, like discussing if it was bigger than Tebow, if it was bigger than, and all these other type of things. And obviously we are very, very in tune to how large the Colorado and Shador fan base is. We see it with, you see it with every video you post with what you do. We see it with every video that we post here with what we do as well. And like, it's obvious that there's an attraction to him and there's a following that he has, but it's not like Baker came from nothing, you know, like Baker had all these Oklahoma fans that was crazy about Baker Mayfield, and you'd meet people all across the country that told you they're just Baker Mayfield Oklahoma fans, and it was a constant pop-up. Like I do wonder if there's just a max that you can have when it comes to one person like that. Now maybe Shador, it's become more obvious with his followers, because we talked about like the Instagram influence, and we talked about how he's popular outside of football, whereas Baker needed football to be popular. Yeah. And so maybe there's a difference there, but like once you hit a certain threshold, you've hit that certain threshold.
It's
like the Beatles versus Taylor Swift. What are we really arguing here?
I'm sure the moment it happens, it will feel bigger in the moment, but I think it is interesting to look back on that, because there was just so much context around how it all sort of played out for Baker with the beer fridges, the losing streak, everything. And I don't know if that's like something that can just be replicated by like, hey, Shador Sanders is getting the start this week. Well, and then
I say all that, and what's odd about it is that preseason game number one did have a lot of the elements that we're talking about with a Baker game that actually mattered. Like, a lot of elements. Like that was the type of night where, again, I stayed up all night drinking, first time in like 6 months. I got absolutely hammered. But like part of the fun of that was me interacting with all the fans and then seeing so many other people get like so excited, like the adrenaline from it all. You know, I didn't even drink until after the game was done. The game was done, and I'm like, I got to have something. And then I just stayed up all night just like talking with people and then watching people's excitement online and them going through all the discourse. And it was just, it was such a great night. And it was like, how do you even bottle that up?
You know what would top it, JP, is if we get a point in the season where they pivot to Dylan Gabriel. And then Dylan either, I'm not rooting for injuries here, but Dylan gets hurt the same way Tyrod did or something. Or he just flat out is like stinking up the room, and Kevin Stefanski just like has to make a change mid game, and he's like, "All right, we're losing by like 14 points to this team. We need to change something up, Dylan. I'm sorry, man. Like we got to go to Shador." If it happened that way, and after all the discourse we've had this entire training camp and how they're gonna probably end the season here with Dylan Gabriel ahead of Shador Sanders, that would be the thing that I think would make it bigger.
But it's just copying and pasting what Baker already did, though. Like, that's the hard part. We're just taking the same script.
True.
Like, we're trying
just
to write...
Just without the beer fridges, but yes.
I mean, it's like we're trying to redo, like, remake Varsity Blues, and it's like, well, here's the whipped cream bikini. Here is Billy Bob. We're making the same movie.
Who's wearing the whipped cream bikini in this one?
It'll still be done nicely with it when it's recasted.
Sweeney,
is the question, recast of Varsity Blues is going to be the whipped cream bikini? Yeah, you want to make that Sydney Sweeney? I'm going to watch that movie. You want to make that just about anybody? I'm going to watch that movie. I liked Varsity Blues a lot. That was a good movie for me. Not Daryl Ryder. It can't be Daryl Ryder, as suggested a couple weeks ago. That one doesn't work. But the point is that when you...
Yes, yes, and oh yes.
And Glenn Powell would be, what's his name? Dawson.
When you Jonathan Moxon. Yeah. When you remake the movie, like there's always going to be elements of it, even if you just copy and paste.
So you may be onto something here, JP. We should maybe start working on the script.
We're going to remake Varsity Blues.
They're doing remakes of everything these days. Let's remake Varsity Blues with today's stars. Glenn Powell, Sidney Sweeney.
Why is Glenn Powell the main guy here?
Because everybody loves Glenn Powell right now. Pedro Pascal in this movie. I don't know how, but we got to get him in. He's the bee's knees right now. He's the hot topic.
He's the bee's knees. what is Glenn Powell great in? Glenn Powell and myself were both 36 years old. That doesn't make me feel great. I thought Glenn Powell was. I thought he was like 45.
All I'm saying is everywhere you look, it's Glenn Powell, it's Sidney Sweeney, and it's Pedro Pascal. They're in basically every movie right now. Like, every movie that's coming out has one of them in it, or all of them in it.
And, like, Cracker Barrel ads that nobody's even asking for. It's like, she's like, is she getting paid for this? It's all edited. What's going on here? What is your favorite Pedro Pascal movie?
My favorite Pedro
Pascal movie? You can't tell
me
he's like a star and is in everything if you don't even have a favorite at this point.
Oof. I mean, I would probably say I'm more so into like the Pedro Pascal shows, like because I think the Last of Us is great. He was great in Narcos. I really like The Mandalorian on Disney Plus.
That man is 50 years old. Cosplaying
he
is.
And he's just now like blowing up.
Isn't that wild how that works sometimes with actors? Yeah. Like you legitimately can at any point.
What's that movie? Is it with Nick Cage? By the way, that movie's pretty funny.
Where he's with Nick Cage?
Yeah, the one where like everyone has that gif of him like in the car where he's just like smiling at Nick Cage. The hell's that movie called?
I'm going to be honest with you. I it's not like he's like in my Rolodex of actors where I'm like, I need to see him in anything.
That's
but
fair.
Glenn Powell also isn't either. Sidney Sweeney really isn't in many respects either, but I like Euphoria.
The Unbearable Weight of Massive Talent.
There you go. That's it. I knew it was a very long title.
And was it good?
Yes.
Yeah, that was a good movie, yeah. And it was funny. And that gif is one of my favorite gifs.
I love when actors later on in life, it's like Stanley from The Office all of a sudden just like getting that role and then just being, that's like he's Brian Baumgartner as well, Kevin from The Office, all these guys that just like, you just get it in like your 50s and you were just doing all these roles and you thought you were great and you're just waiting for it and then you just pop off at 50, 55 years old and it's just kind of proof that if you just kind of stay with things long enough, eventually something might work out for you. You just got to outlast
Steve Carell,
all the
isn't
people.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
No matter why you give, your donations can do so much more with a donor-advised fund from DAFGiving 360. You can get a tax deduction upon funding an account, and your assets can potentially grow tax-free as you recommend when and where to give. It's a tax-smart way to maximize your charitable giving from a fund with over 25 years of expertise bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together. Make a greater impact with DAFGiving 360. Learn more at DAFGiving360.org.
Steve Carell, too. Because Steve Carell's first movie was 40-Year-Old Virgin. And it was like, that was like the thing that like really
he wasn't
put him
young.
On the map.
Yeah, he wasn't young when he got that. That was a great movie that 40-Year-Old Virgin's going to get lost in time. There's going to be a lot of people that just never see that movie,
they
and
don't
I wish
make
everyone
these
did.
Movies like they used to, JP.
No, they
Wait,
really
we,
don't.
We grew up, I think, in the golden age of movies, like in terms of those movies.
Well, Judd
especially,
Apatow was making so many of those movies.
Superbad. I mean, like some of these Will Ferrell movies from that, like the great Will Ferrell movies, like Talladega Nights and stuff. Like they just don't make them like they used
no,
to.
No, they don't. 216-474-0092. All right, we're going to get to the Eric Dickerson audio, and also what exactly do the Guardians have to do this weekend to win you guys back? It's Jonathan Peter and Spencer German with you guys right here on the Fan. And I kind of resign myself to the fact that the house always wins and it's just the reality that I live with, right? And that's okay. Like, it's supposed to be an entertainment thing. And if I spent a couple dollars while gambling during a game, if I got that couple dollars of enjoyment, not really the end of the world. Am I in a hurry to go back to gambling? No, not in the slightest bit. But it is what it is.
Yeah.
What I didn't get to tell you, because we ran out of time, I've come up with a new thing that I want in life, okay? So what I'm going to do is I'm going to store away a little bit of money here and there, and I'd like to at like 70 years old, okay? I have no idea what my win-loss percentage is in life as far as gambling. I couldn't even begin to tell you if I'm up or down. I'm going to guess down, though. I've been a lot of table games. I told you about my system in craps. He's got a system, folks. And so it's enough to know that I'm probably down in lifetime gambling, okay? But I want, when I'm like 70 or 75, I want to take, and again, if I'm not in the position financially to do this, then fine, we won't do it. But I'd love to take like $10,000 or $15,000, bet it on what turns out to essentially be red or black on the roulette wheel, okay? So it's basically a 50-50 toss-up whether or not I win that thing or lose that thing, and have that decide whether or not I am a career winner or loser in the gambling world. Because if I bet 15 grand and I win, then I'll be able to retire forever from gambling, and I'll be able to always say career winner as far as gambling was concerned.
Well, and you can like tell it's a great story, like that you just did this. You had this large sum of money one time. You went and put it on the table.
I don't even need it for the story. I don't. At 70 years old, 75 years old. I'm 36 right now. I barely need anything for a story at this point in life. Okay. I can't imagine 35 years from now.
The only stories you want are Shador Sanders Super Bowls.
Honestly, and that's his story. That's not even my story. That's his story. Okay. I don't need any more stories. I'm good on that. I don't need to tell anybody anything. Doesn't really do anything for me, right? But it's for me. It's for my own brain. Okay. I need to be able to. When I'm on my deathbed, I want to know if I was a career loser or career winner when it came to gambling all time. And so I'd love to make that one time bet just so I can, with confidence, say that I was a career winner when it came to gambling.
That's fun. I like that idea. I hear some of these stories, or like you get every year, you get these people who you hear about like the parlay they put together that like just fell short because of like one thing in the Super Bowl or something like that. And I'm like how much money they put on this. And I'm like, this is a different life than I will ever have. Like I would just never have disposable income enough that I can be like, I'll wake up today and I'm going to put $50,000 on this random team to win the Super Bowl. Like I'm just never going to have that ever.
Well,
like,
not with that attitude.
I just can't picture that. I realized a long time ago that I was just throwing my money away if I gambled too much. And so I dabble here, there, NFL season. I do a few things. I play some parlays during the basketball season. I do shadow a lot of people. Like I have friends who will be like, hey, play this with me. And I'll be like, all right, we'll see what happens. And sometimes I win, sometimes I lose.
Which is enjoyment.
I'm sure I'm down lifetime as well. But like, I have a hard time going higher than like a, like when I'm putting money into my app it is, FanDuel, whatever, mm-hmm. and I'm like transferring money out of my bank, I'm like, how high do I really want to go here? Like, how much money do I really want to know I won't be putting back in my bank account? It was great in the beginning when all these apps first started in Ohio. It was great because I would just I'd take advantage of all the free money. I'd play like a $5 bet. I'd win. They'd give me like
the free money. Really was pretty
nice.
They'd give
me like $100 for free, and I would just take that $100 and basically deposit into my account. And be like, oh, I'll just use the money that I won off my initial $10.
The first taste is always free, Spencer.
But now it's all been downhill. So.
No, it's just fun. I just want to know at the end. I want to be able to be on my deathbed and be like, I was, because in my reality, I'm only winning that bet, by the way. Like it's, I have a very, very low chance in my head of actually losing that bet. But if I lost the bet, then fine. I'm a career loser. But I'd like to at least know. And I can know with certainty whether I was up or down.
50-50 shot, you'll take it.
Why not? Yeah. Could you imagine? Like, it's like, there's so many different ways that we can measure this. And I don't know. Maybe I'll end up getting into like gambling and golf or something like that. Like I actually playing golf, kind of like when I was and this factors into it too. When I was a kid, I used to go and I bet a lot of the ponies and everything. I forgot to wager that in play, but I used to always do. I did so much gambling with bowling, like you wouldn't believe. So the bowling alone, I'm a career winner already. I have to at least account for that. But just from strictly table games, I'd love to be a career winner.
By the way, is your method just blowing on the? Are you like a blow on the dice guy? Is that the thing that you do?
My system. You want my crap system?
I'm asking if that's what it is, because everyone swears about like, you got to blow on the dice. It's the thing. And I don't know. Get somebody else to blow on the dice. I don't know.
I can give you detail on my system.
Yeah, you can tell me off the air.
Yeah, I don't want to give out my system. It's my system. I feel like I should charge money for this losing system that I have. That for a little
side
bit
gig,
was a streak.
JP a giving bit, his system.
It was a streak. He's got a system, folks. All right, Eric Dickerson. He was on. And by the way, this went viral with being on the Dan Patrick Show. It's not what it actually came from. It came from the Rogan and Rodney Show, AM 570 LA Sports. He was on there, and this is what he had to say.
And I'll tell you this much here: what I heard from someone that's in the NFL that the NFL told other don't draft him. do not draft him. We're gonna make an example out of him. And this came from a very good source. And he said that, I won't say who, somebody called the Cleveland Browns and said, don't do that. Draft
really?
Him. Yep, draft him. Don't do that. Because they weren't gonna draft him either. They weren't gonna draft him. Mm-mm. They were forced into drafting him because somebody made a call to them. Said, and I say, when I say this is a NFL side source for sure.
All right. So what's interesting about this setup is that initially I saw the video from our page, yeah. And it was Ken and Anthony speaking, and I hadn't clicked into the video yet. Right. But I saw that what I thought was their take presented, and I had not clicked in the video. I saw it quickly, and then I got to work getting ready for this show. And as I got ready to work on this show, I was putting together my own takes, and my own take initially on it was, well, if the NFL did what they did with Lamar Jackson, where you watched a whole offseason of teams just say, we don't want to pay Lamar Jackson, we don't want to trade to then pay Lamar because we don't think he's good enough, when the man at that time had already won league MVP, and you watched the Ravens owner himself tell Lamar's mom, who was his agent at the time, we don't think he's good enough for guaranteed money. Here's the reasons X, Y, and Z. And everyone just kind of fell in line with that. I was like, anything could be rigged in the NFL. And I'll give Lima credit. I then got around to listening to that episode or that part of their show as I was maneuvering through my day. And that's the same thing he brought up as well. The idea that once Lamar happened, I don't know how you can be so quick to say, well, the NFL would never rig something, or the NFL would never conspire with something the way that we just saw the collusion play out.
Well, and that's why that collusion story was such a big deal, because it basically gave credence to the idea that, like, if they can collude on one thing here or one thing there, then they can collude on anything. If there's some overarching committee that is meeting with these owners every year at the owners' meetings and mm-hmm. saying, hey, here's what we advise you should be doing this time of year in free agency or whatever, then why can't they then tell teams not to draft a certain player? And I think there's certainly a lot of people that lean into the idea that that's what happened with Shador. I think it was, I know Albert Breer talked about this, not with you guys, but I think on a different space, where he said that I think it was kind of like the perfect storm of things, like talent-wise, teams didn't think he was worth a first round pick, and then everything else that transpired with him during the pre-draft visits and meetings and all these things is what led to him spiraling. He also mentioned, like, there aren't a lot of quarterbacks that get taken in the second or third round, but of course, like, when you have these collusion stories, everyone's going to be able to point and easily say, well, why couldn't this happen to Shador Sanders? Now, what I did think was interesting about his explanation, Eric Dickerson's, mm-hmm. and where I think I'm sort of the one thing I'm confused by is, like, he said that somebody called the Browns and said, don't do it. But it was like the Browns also, it wasn't like they were like on the clock and they were going to take him and somebody.
I thought he was saying that the Browns side of this, they were saying to do it.
Is that what it was? Did I misunderstand?
I thought so. Mac, okay. Was that your interpretation as well?
Okay.
That was my interpretation as well. Yeah. We can replay it if you want.
I got you. No, it's okay. I think I just misunderstood. I thought he was saying that somebody called and said, don't do it. And then it was like, well, they would trade it up. It's pretty obvious what they were doing at that point. But yeah, I I don't know. Like, it sounds fanciful to people, but I think the NFL sort of opened this Pandora's box with everything that maybe not even the NFL, but like Pablo Torre and his findings with the leak last month sort of opened this Pandora's box where, like, anything's possible.
So the hard part for myself is I was trying to figure out why Shador. That was the answer I was trying to come up with. And it was, I think Shador is in a different bucket than a lot of, than really basically every other player to enter the NFL, not with the last name Manning. Yeah, he doesn't have to dance for his dollar. Shador's in a very different situation where he is independently wealthy because of the NIL and because of who his dad is. He doesn't have to worry about money or anything like that. And he also has an incredibly large amount of fame that I feel like the NFL kind of hangs over some of these players' heads. Like, you're going to fall in line. You're going to do with what we want you to do because here's your fame and here's your money. Well, guess what? He's got 3 million Instagram followers and he's never played a snap of real NFL pro regular season football yet. The man's got as much fame as anybody. He's got as much money as you could ever possibly need. He doesn't have to dance for his dollar in a way that I think other people do. And there's a part of that story that I do believe that the NFL or somebody around the NFL, whether that was agents or whether that was teams, something happened that was fishy. I just don't know what other way to put it. Like, I just
don't know how. And listen, I understand like certain guys, like Mel Kiper's never actually worked in a front office and he loves Shador Sanders, but like Daniel Jeremiah did work in a front office. He was a scout. Like, he knows these things. And I don't understand how all these people that have studied this stuff, know what scouts are looking for, know how to really analyze these players on an individual level, all said one thing about Shador, all felt right. that he was a day two guy at the very least, and they were so wrong
from
what the NFL decided.
And here's the easiest
one, though.
The only
explanation is that those stories from the combine and all that really, they took that and used it against him.
That's the point, though. Now, you've been around Shador. You've gotten to know Shador a little bit. You interview Shador, right? And so you can tell firsthand the idea that those combine stories, after you being around Shador for as long as you have been now, they don't seem like the actions of what he would be doing. Not in the slightest bit. We would have seen him misstep in some instance in the previous 4 months if he had done anything close to what those combine meetings had suggested he'd done.
And I'm not saying he didn't come in maybe a little more brass than people wanted. I'm sure at that time, I mean, he had his dad was going out and talking about how, like, yeah, we feel good about it being one of those top three teams that's going to take him. Like, they seemed pretty confident that he was going to go top three, so maybe he didn't give some teams the time of day. But should that have tanked his stock to as far as down as he was going to be a fifth-round pick? No. Like, that, once day two ended and we all realized that Shador Sanders was still on the board, I think everyone was like, what is going on here? Like, day one, it was like, okay, he didn't go day one. But, like, to not go day two at all surprised all of us, and it wouldn't surprise me in the least if there was some sort of collusion that goes on, that was going on here, especially now that we know what sort of went on with Lamar Jackson and all these other instances. I mean, even going back to the
sense.
Colin Kaepernick thing, like that was in some ways like a version of collusion. Like if they'll say it's just this committee that advises them, but if you're having people get together in a meeting and say like, hey, wink, wink, nudge, nudge, like here's how we think you should do these things. That's by the letter of the law. That's collusion. Like, you're being told not to do certain things by the people that are in charge of the league. Like, I don't know how else to slice that.
I mean, I think a lot of billionaires, they like to have control over things, and they like to be controllable people. And I think in this instance, I think they like to have control over Shador Sanders' fate in an interesting way. And ultimately, there's a lot of factors at play here, and maybe it was just the perfect storm, but you can't tell me this kid ever should have gone in the fifth round. That part never makes sense. All right, leave that there. We'll put a bow on this one with in case we missed it when we come on back. It's Spencer German, Jonathan Beadle with you guys. Afternoon Drive right here on The Fan.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Donor-advised funds from DAF Giving 360. Your clients can donate cash, publicly traded securities, or appreciated assets like real estate. It's a simple, tax-smart way to give. Learn more at dafgiving360.org/advisors.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.